Who here is already contemplating your New Year's resolution? I won't ask what they are, okay? But this isn't something that's new. New Year's resolutions isn't something that's new. It's been going on for a long time. So this is from the National Geographic History and Culture. So it actually started back with the Babylonian kings, is where this tradition started. Now, for those of you that recall when we went through Daniel, they were making New Year's resolutions when that was going on. The ancient Babylonians established the first known practice of setting New Year pledges, a tradition that has endured for over 4,000 years. Every January, millions of people set intentions to, does anybody want to guess number one? Exercise more, spend less, lose weight, be kinder, right? A ritual that feels deeply modern but has ancient roots. The desire to start afresh is an impulse that all people have. And from vows made by Babylonian kings to personal promises of today, this practice has evolved. But its core is familiar. Welcoming a new year with the hope of becoming better, right? So familiar goals that people have, and this tradition finally crossed from Europe, you could say, over into colonial America, and some of you will remember this stuff. The Puritans embraced this introspection of New Year's, okay? And there was a desire to avoid debauchery and reflect on the passing and coming years. This period marked the emergence of resolutions in a modern sense. Alexis McCrossin, a history professor at Southern Methodist University, says that during this time, it was common for churches to have a Sabbath sermon, which took place on the first Sunday of the year. These sermons, including a famous one by Thomas Foxcroft in 1724, often emphasized the time is fleeting and congregants should be a better servant. So I was able to get this sermon, and I'm going to read it to you today. I'm joking. We have visitors, so I'll behave. I tried reading that thing. Oh, my goodness. 1724 is a bit different. But other diaries from early Americans reveal pledges to overcome sin, abstain, or whatever it might be. And they use the phrase, I resolve myself, right? And you'll remember this guy, Jonathan Edwards. He embodied this introspective spirit. He had over 70 resolutions over several years. So he just kept his list. And some of them were including never to speak evil of any except I have some particular good call for it, or in essence, to stop gossiping, Moss says. By the 19th century, New Year's resolutions had transcended Christian origins in America, and they're largely secular, if you think about it. Has anybody got inundated with Villa Sport advertisements in the mail? I've got like three in 3 days. So newspaper articles throughout the 1900s show how little New Year's resolutions people make have changed over time. So this is from 1912 in the Sacramento Star. It reads, the New Year's resolutions are a time to swear off bad habits. In 1938, the Miami Daily News encouraged female readers to keep resolutions small and manageable, warning against glittering resolutions, which you know in your heart are as brittle as Christmas tree ornaments, wedding vows, or campaign promises. I thought you'd like that one, ladies. National Geographic, not Dan. National Geographic, okay. The idea that New Year's resolutions don't work has been well recorded in newspapers as well. In the Fort Myers News Press on December 30th, 1937, a featured psychologist says that New Year's resolutions don't work. And in 1941, one newspaper ran an article on January 4th stating that most people don't make resolutions because they are never kept, which may be why only 3 in 10 Americans report making any resolutions in 2024. So who kept your 2024 New Year's resolutions? All right, an honest congregation this morning. So what are you going to do? Are you thinking about resolutions already? Are you thinking, oh, this next year? You know, if you do, it's up to you, right? You know, some of us might need to call into accountability. Hey, hold me accountable. You know, I need to make this change in my life. I need to make this change with God or in how I interact with others, right? But I just want to encourage you this morning to do some thinking as we go through this and reflecting as well. And I've been contemplating today's message for quite a few weeks now. And so I've managed to come up with 3 points, but there's no poem to aid us this year. And so, you died in the wool Calvary, people, you're going to get itchy because it's a topical message. Okay? But before we go, we are going to go through some scripture to help us get our mind and to see how what we're going to talk about with remember, reflect, and renew actually applies. And so before we pray, let's read Psalm 51. Just as giving us like some foundational historical context of one aspect of remembering, reflecting, and renewing. Now, King David was awesome most of the time, wasn't he? But there was one night he wasn't so much. Yep. And as that happened, God got in his face with the prophet Nathan, right? And this is on after that confrontation that happens by Nathan. In Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and the whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar." Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and as we begin to think about this past year, just pray that your Holy Spirit would even move amongst us to call to mind those things that you want us to think about. And ultimately, is that even as we get through these next few minutes, is that we're relying upon you to change our lives. And so we just ask for even some of the similar things that David put in this psalm, to be with us, to redirect us, to help us. So we just give this time to you and just ask that you would be the teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing is remember. What do you remember about this past year? As you mull it over, you're like, "Dan, I have a hard time remembering yesterday." I'm with you, okay? But some things stick out in your mind, like this past year this past year that, right? Sometimes it's relationship with others, right? There might have been things that were strained, things that you needed to sustain and you did, or things that are flourishing and growing, right? What about ourselves? You and God know who you are, right? And so how we communicate with others, what our character is like, did we need to have courage in certain situations? Do we need to have compassion? Then also remembering our relationship with God. How is your relationship with God? Is it far? Is it near? Is it shallow or is it deep? Is it erratic or consistent? Stagnant or growing? And as we begin to start to remember these things, what are you recollecting from last year? Take a second. Just think. This is actually just filler time in the sermon, but I'm joking. Sorry, everybody's so serious sometimes, but to really think about this past year and you know, was it regrets or celebrations? I know we just had there's some great testimonies of families that spent time together during Christmas, right? And there's a lot of celebration still happening in with Jessica and Mason had a new baby girl, Hadassah, right? What a great memory, right? Just awesome. Some of us might be remembering painful things, emotional struggles, or spiritual depression that have happened this past year. But if we're left only to ourselves at this point, some of us will dig a hole so deep of self-loathing, right? Or we put on this cloak of self-condemnation with it. And that's where we stay, and that's where we live. But as Christians and as believers, you know, we are to remember particular things, and we're supposed to remember them in a particular light and to recollect these things so that we're not enslaved to these emotions. First, believers are to remember God's person. Remember who he is. Now, some of us are hard-headed like these prophets in the Old Testament, right? If God causes me to get swallowed by a large fish in Colorado, we're really in trouble. But Jonah, he was that hard-headed, and that's what had to happen, right? But when he remembered, and he hits that point in verse 7, he says, "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." When he came to the end of himself, is he remembered God, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. That's what happened, is that when he came to the end of himself, he remembered God. Isaiah 46, verse 9, gives us encouragement. It says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me." So one of the key things for us to remember as believers is there is a God and who he is. Next, we're to remember God's acts in the past. His acts of creation in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. The awesome creative nature of God and what he has done. Acts of personal intervention. And this is probably where we need to focus more. Psalm 139:13, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb." But there's a lot more of Scripture, God intervening in your life for certain things, and to recall that. Believers are also to remember God's word. Psalm 19, verse 7 and 8, "For the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Now, what David has done there with law of the Lord, testimony of the Lord, statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord is this. This is what is perfect, making you wise, causing you to rejoice, and opening your eyes to what's going on. I want to encourage you, believers, are to remember the death of Jesus Christ, particularly in three particular ways, is sharing the gospel. That's how we remember what Christ has done. By sharing the gospel, the good news, with other people, partaking in holiness, in other words, how we live our lives, is how we remember Christ. And also how we practically do it is observing communion, of showing others what he has done for us. But probably a harder one is like, you know, Pastor, I'm good. I can remember God, what he's done, and recognize he's intervened in my life. And for those of us that he intervened with those big railroad ties to the forehead, we prefer a lot smaller ones now, don't we? But we're to remember our responsibilities towards one another. Huge. And it's to keep it simple, John 13:35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That's a pretty big responsibility, isn't it? So, you know how I confess up here sometimes, right? Desiree, Okay. So I confessed openly, when I was in the military, until God got a hold of me, I had a special list, and it was the punch in the throat list. Okay? And John wants to say amen. He's just not. Okay? So it's that. But here, it doesn't exist. And if it does, I'm going to help you. Your New Year's resolution, burn your punch in the throat list. That's your New Year's resolution. Because we're not to be known and to react to each other that way. All right. Despite how much we might step in sin in a second's notice, but we are to love one another. And it gets noticed by others as well. And not just saying, oh, I love you, brother. Oh, I love you, sister. But it should be words and deeds, not empty words of avoidance of responsibility, but actions that go with it, right? All of this remembering that we've talked about, and what we've encountered this past year, but then particularly, okay, as a Christian, I'm supposed to remember these things. But when you remember the events of this past year, it should push you to reflection upon those. Not just, oh, I did this, oh, this happened, oh, we engaged these people, oh, this is what was there, right? But to reflect upon it. Now, some of us don't like it, do we? Because reflect means to think deeply or carefully about something, often leading to self-examination or contemplation on moral or spiritual matters. Reflection is checking your heart with all of those things. Remembering is the easy part, right? We have no problem remembering the past year, but when we reflect upon the memory, certain things might come up. And it leads in two different directions, right? Good memories, they lead to praise, they lead to celebration, a baby's been born, whatever it might be. But other ones where we start to begin to see what's there, it leads to regret. And when we consider the event or circumstances we recall as positive, we should hold on to that, remember those good things, and put those things in practice in further things, and it should lead us to praise and worship. In Psalm 63, verse 5 and 6 says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. I'm pretty sure that's a code word for barbecue. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. So even if it's a good memory of what's happened, it's thank you, Lord, for this in my life. Thank you, God, that this happened. Thank you, and you get the praise and the worship for it because of his involvement with it. We give credit to God for his work in us and the situation that has edified and built up our life for him. However, when we see the circumstances as negative, our reflection leads to regret, it leads to remorse, or even conviction, doesn't it? We can have regret and remorse over events with others, our own failings, or apathy that we've had in our life from whatever else. Man, I committed to the gym and I made it a whole day last year. Whatever it might be. So I'm just going to give a warning. So if you use Woodman Hills Rec Center on the east side, like, please don't go to 6. Go at 6 a.m. in the morning and take my weights. Now, if you do show up at 6 a.m., I will help hold you accountable, all right, to going. No, I'm joking. But it does lead to regret and remorse, doesn't it? When we start to think about our own inadequacy, our own failing, or sin, and it should lead one way, as a Christian, is that when you're smacked in the face by the Holy Spirit about this reflection, and you start to own that part, you cannot be the ostrich on the Bugs Bunny cartoon and bury your head. It leads to repentance. And we see that we have a key part to address in that reflection. And first of all, like we read from Psalms, what? First of all, it's with God. Because if we really think about what has happened, God, I have just caused your name not to be holy because I'm a representative of you here. And that's hard stuff. But it is with others as well. And in John, and when he wrote the book of Revelation, we know that there's letters to the churches, right? And the church of Ephesus is the first church that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 2. And as the Lord gives great commendable characteristics that he's addressing them with. You know, the church was performing good works. They're laboring in ministry. They're persevering despite the culture, right? They held fast to the word of God and sound doctrine. In fact, they knew the word so well that if a self-proclaimed apostle came and gave a word and it was contrary to scripture, they knew it. They're like, get out of here, buddy, right? They knew what the word of God said. In fact, they called them liars. I think I might like that church. But there's also one key character that they were deficient in. And Jesus said, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And there's a lot of debate of what that love was, whether it was a love for Christ, a love for other people, a love to share the gospel with others. But Christ gives action for them to take. And look at what it says in verse 5. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. So in that is not only remember, but also reflecting. I used to be here, now I'm here. And then it says, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. And this was written to a church as well. Remembering causes us reflection that should lead us to repentance if it's a negative thing, okay, so that we can restore that relationship with God. Now, we're not talking about legalism, right? I almost wore my coat and cowboy hat because I got that for Christmas too. And Kim's watching online, right, just so I can represent. We're not talking legalism, okay? We're talking an necessary understanding of Scripture. We're talking about not living for him in an inauthentic way, but truthfully. In other words, we're talking about not faking it, but walking in faith. So, I'm choosing on which rabbit to chase right now. So, let's just go to the next slide. So, do you know, actually, this is a great illustration to help you. Actually, do you know what this slide actually is? This is a lieutenant on a land nav course. Some of you will get that. Anyways, this is what happens, right? When you're 1 degree off at 1,000 yards is 60 yards deviation. Okay, that's how far off you are. And I made it this way particularly because when it comes to repentance, as you might have heard, oh, you need to do a 180, right? But it's a lot bigger than that. Some of us, and just be honest, we need to do like a 720. You need to like spin around three different times to get back on God's way, right? Because of the things that are in our life. And so we try to live this life in our own strength. And what do? We look like a ping pong ball. And that's what repentance is. Repentance is not, okay, I'm just going to change. Repentance is recognizing that I am walking, right, on selfish street. And I need to get back on God's righteous road that is there. Now, what I don't misinterpret me. Okay, I'm not talking legalism stuff, but I'm just saying we gotta quit faking our relationship with God. We got to. And that aspect of repentance in remembering and reflecting and recognizing, oh, that wasn't only a cow pie I stepped in, right? Whether it's relationship with others, relationship with God, or if you are lying to yourself. When you recognize this error, God's over here in his way, I'm over here. It's on your knees in prayer and forgiveness and asking repentance, okay? And that's the point of this. It's like God says this is the way, and we walk by faith in the power of the Spirit to go this way. Guess what? Selfishness takes over. Where'd everybody go? Oh. And I need to come back to the Lord in repentance. Reflection leads to other things which I won't cover now, but briefly mention. Reflection should lead to rejoicing. It should lead to understanding, obedience. It should lead to delight in the Lord and confidence, faith, and hope. That's what it should lead to. So even if you know, I got to do business with God because I screwed up four ways from Sunday this year, guess what? You are not going to empty God's bank of grace. He's not going to tell you, no, I don't forgive you, because Jesus paid it all. And to walk in the freedom of that forgiveness is huge. And it should lead to all of these things, even if we have screwed up yesterday. So before we move on, what have you recalled? What have you reflected on? Write it in that mental note. Please don't call your brain Siri or Alexa, you know, but write it there mentally. Is it areas of failed responsibility, or is it victories of faith? Is it celebrations with people that you love, or what God has done in your life? Or maybe you got to own some stuff. What do you need to do? It's pretty easy. Repent, or you need to reinforce those good things that you're reflecting upon. This is great. This built our family up. This built us up. I've grown in the Lord so much this way. I need to continue on that path. The next part is particularly necessary for all, but most likely the next stage of repentance. However, even if we had a great year, we will strengthen the faithful attributes that God has produced in us. But we still need to seek a freshness to our relationship with Him and with others. And so it's renewal. Renewal is that transformation by God of the lives of His people, whether corporately or individually, leading to recovery of a lost vitality and purity, or a sustaining of what He's already doing. It's a refreshing of a sanctified life for Him, a life of holiness for Him. Individually, we need to renew our faith at times, don't we? It doesn't mean that you exchange it and you get new faith, okay? Just think of renewal, refreshing, revitalization. Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. That's biblical context for old man strength. Just, okay, right, Isaiah? And the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Renewing our faith, waiting upon the Lord, trusting in Him, depending upon Him in whatever it might be. Renewing our hearts. You'll recall that we read Psalm 51 at the beginning, right? Well, these key verses of 10 through 12, you hear David's cry. And boy, did he need a repent and renewal, didn't he? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. I can't tell you how often I pray that. Because sometimes you hit places in your life, and you know, okay, God, you got me. I have no idea why you still love me. I'm like prodigal son 2.0, you know? But He does, and it just, this is like the only, and you, I could summarize it down to just the one cry, Lord, please don't let me go. And that's it. So renewing our heart in a relationship with Him particularly, renewing our mind. Romans 12:2 will be familiar with you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, some of us got so much garbage in there from the past, you got to make space and clean it out and put in there what God meant to have in there. But what I want to challenge some of you on is that we need to renew our spiritual gifts. Paul, writing to Timothy, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And it was also the elders at that church that did. This aspect of stirring up to renew, to refresh, to revitalize, is sort of like, yeah, I used to do this for God. And you know what? And you're trying to roast a marshmallow and you only got one live coal left. It probably ain't going to happen. But if you stir up those coals and add more fuel, it's going to revitalize. This, whatever your gift might be, is there a necessary dependence upon the Holy Spirit for what those gifts are supposed to be and to use those gifts here with the body? And before we move to corporate renewal, as you recall, reflect, and seek renewal, what area is it? What is God speaking to you at the beginning of this next year? He's saying, remember, reflect, whatever it might be. Is it your faith renewing trust in God and what Christ has done? Is it that? Just simply that. God loves me. Christ paid for it. I take him at his word and believe it. And I'm going to walk that way. Is it your mind pursuing purity of thought? And when I mean purity of thought throughout, whatever it might be. Whatever, whether it's thinking towards others, thinking the best of others. Is it a refreshing, a stirring of your gifts for the Lord and to serve others? A renewal? Is it our heart? Asking for that clean heart. Is it asking for a soft heart? Is it asking for a willing heart to follow after him? All of these things, as we ask for renewal in thinking about these things. And then I want to talk corporately. So that's all y'all, as Paul wrote. Everyone here, corporately. May we renew our dependency upon the Spirit. You know, there's times when you can serve so much, it becomes routine, right? Just comes routine. Sorry, Bud, you entered the sermon this week. So Isaiah helped Tim and Roxanne are in Kansas. He helped Tim, and they were setting fence up in Brighton. They had 62 posts, right, setting a chain link fence. And this aspect, he had to pound these posts in over and over, 62. Dad, he had me up in the bucket. I had a 10-pound sledgehammer, and I had to keep putting the posts in. I said, aren't you glad you went to the gym? He says, yes, I am. Right? But there was an aspect of physical exhaustion that it was just that routine, and our life can be this, okay, the same post, the same thing, the same thing, the same thing, the same thing, right? And it just becomes so monotonous that our brain shuts off. We take care of what we need to take care of, but we stop listening to the Spirit. And God reminded the children of Israel through Zechariah, he says, so he entered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. So they've come back from Babylon. They're back in the land. And it has to do particularly about the temple, which, New Testament, y'all are the temple. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. By his Spirit, is these things have to happen. We also need to renew our faithfulness to the fundamentals. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Word, fellowship, communion, prayers. The fundamentals. But also renew our commitment to discipleship. As if you turn around, here's the active part of the service. You can look at this big brown sign. Be, make, send disciples. Corporately. Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore. In the Greek, it's actually an active participle. While you're going, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you, or commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Be committed to being a disciple. Now, if you don't know what a disciple is in this next year, okay, I have a starting point. I need to be a disciple and find somebody to help me be a disciple. What about making disciples? Are you passing it on? This isn't a commercial where you pay for the Starbucks order behind you. It's life investment of the word and how to live. And then sending, whether it's helping Josh, or you've made a disciple that now does what? Makes another disciple. We also need to renew our love for one another. John 13, 35. Is anybody getting the point this morning? So, John 13, 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That is something corporately that has to be held onto all the time. Renew our love for others. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Loving others, and I want to even talk about these things, is like the light ministry is loving the teachers in the Ellicott School District. That is corporately how we are loving others. We are loving others through the Firewood Ministry. Mac, raise your hand. If you want to get involved, see Mac, right? Because that goes to other people that don't have it. Pretty significant if you're out here. There's also a food pantry, and we also have Thanksgiving baskets, our ways of loving others. We have benevolence that's available to people that need help, a way of loving others. And loving visitors when they come here. Are they greeted? Are they loved? Are they talked to? Or are we like, down on Bible Church came for Christmas services, right? And Josh came in, biggest guy in the room. I'm like, and he took his hat off and started acting different. I'm like, don't take your hat off. You don't need to take your hat off. Are we loving people that come in the door? So corporately, even as you pray, what renewal do we need here at RMC Ellicott? What aspect of renewal needs to happen? And as we covered these things, a love for one another, commitment to discipleship, the fundamentals, dependency upon the Spirit. And I'm sure many have opinions and perspectives, right? Sorry, I'm not changing the color of the carpet. Okay? But what corporate renewal looks like is all of us doing our part as directed by the Spirit here, loving and serving one another. It's for the benefit of the church. For some of us, it is the practical way of serving, and we love our hospitality team. For others, it's being faithful and growing spiritually, being invested to be discipled. Like I said, here you go. New Year's resolution, guys, show up at Omelets, etc. at 6:30 on Wednesday morning. You don't get a teaching. You get 3 to 5 minute encouragement, and then we eat good food. Okay? Some, it might be to just start loving other peoples and stop judging. And may the Lord speak to us all. Because I have no idea. I am so glad we don't have x-ray vision, aren't you? Okay? Because I'm pretty sure you would scare me to death right now. No. That you and the Lord know what's running through your mind of what we're talking. And as you begin to contemplate January 1st is coming up, is it going to be the same in the things that are mundane, right? Or is it going to change for the Lord? So, like they used to say, will you be resolved? I resolve. Will you be resolved? And that's between you and God. Remember, reflect, renew. Will you stand with me, please? For some, to even remember, you need to hear what to remember, and the remember is the gospel. Is that God loves you so much, despite how you are, as he sent Christ to purify, to make a way for you to be with him forever by paying for your sins now and until you're with him, and simply believing it. That's it. It's not your money, not what you look like, not where you were born, but it is wholly believing it from your nose to your toes, every atom of your being. This is what is true. And you're saying, God, please forgive me. I take you at your word. You promised this. I believe it. Believers, I encourage you for prayer. We'll have people up front for prayer. It is so easy to be the ostrich in the sand, isn't it? Nobody knows. But that step of even asking for prayer could be the catalyst for it not to be just another resolution that gets thrown in the trash can, but for a significant change as you follow after the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and Christ, we thank you for what you've done. Spirit, for your help, even from second to second at times. And in these next few days, may you continue to speak to us. May you call to memory those things that you want us to build up and to bolster, to make sure they don't move anymore. But may we also reflect on things that we didn't do so hot at. And may you provide that direction. May all of us have a heart of repentance and walking in repentance towards you, and not with sour looks on our face, but celebrating the grace that you give us and walking in the freedom of that forgiveness. That the joy of our salvation is something that we are known for, as well as how we love one another. So may these words of worship that we close with be acceptable to you because of your great love and grace for us. In Jesus' name, amen.